Good morning. Welcome to the Game Room Podcast. We're going to be talking about Tekken 7 and some sidestepping goodies. This, you know, most of these podcasts go towards newer players, people that really don't have all the mechanics and fundamentals down yet or have a thorough understanding of all of them. And what we're going to talk about today is something that I think a lot of newer players kind of glaze over. They just kind of, they just ignore it, or they don't use it, or if it's applied on them, they get really frustrated, and it's sidestepping and evasion. But more particularly, we're going to be talking about sidestepping. So there are other moves in Tekken, and there are a lot of stances and other things that are evasive. An example would be Ling Xiaoyu's Art of Phoenix. It lets her get real low, and by hitting down while she's in it, she can actually evade more stuff. Or Steve's sways, okay, or Paul's sway back, or I mean, there's a multitude of different moves that have evasive properties built in, or stances that have evasive properties. What we're going to talk about today, though, is a little more detail into sidestepping and what it is and how it functions, and more into sidewalking as well. So to get started, sidestepping is quite easy to do if you understand how it works. Basically, you hit up neutral on the D-pad, joystick, thumbstick, or down neutral. And what that does is it will slide your character either into the foreground or into the background, or towards the foreground or into the background. And what that does for you is it allows you to switch axes with the 2D plane that you're fighting on. Because it is a 3D fighting game, but there are some 2D aspects to it, like footsies and spacing and stuff. But having it in a 3D space really kind of brings a dynamic that you don't really see in a lot of other 2D fighters at all. And it's something you got to think about. And I think that's why people, at least newer players, kind of shy away from learning sidestepping, because when you're sidestepping or sidewalking, you cannot block. And that's a huge thing that you need to take into account, because that means that every time you step, especially within range, shit, I'd say one or less, or maybe even range two against some characters, you're putting yourself at risk. Okay, or maybe even further, depending on if they have a tracking long-range move, but most people don't. Most characters that have long-range pokes or moves don't really have great tracking both ways. So that gets into character specifics, and we can get into some of that maybe later. But for the most part, by hitting up neutral or down neutral, your character will shift axes and move either towards the foreground or background. Now, if you hit up neutral and then hold up, or down neutral and hold down, you will step and then sidewalk, or it'll be seamless. If you do the input correctly, you will just move to the side and keep walking. And that's something that was introduced in Tekken 4 years and years ago, back when I was quite a bit younger. And what that does is that allows you to evade and continue to move. And it's not, it has more initial startup, where you don't move as fast initially as a sidestep does, but you move further and you can do more with the sidewalk in some situations. And what I mean by that is you're able to not only sidestep a move with a normal sidestep and then maybe launch, or hit them with a 10 or 12 or whatever your punish is for that move, but you're also able to sidewalk and get to the side or get to the back. And a lot of new players don't really see the side and back throws or a big benefit of hitting on the side or back, but they can't block from there. They have to block from the front, okay? And being able to open the opponent up and make them really nervous about what they're throwing out, that's pretty much the basis of sidestepping. And it also is a great turn taker. And what I mean by that is, you know, Tekken and a lot of other fighting games are based on turns. So, you know, you hit somebody, you have initiative. You continue your turn. Just like if you're playing cards or something. You lay a card down, you're still playing, you can continue to lay cards down. As soon as they do something that stops you, or you make some sort of error where a move whiffs, or a move is blocked, or you drop something, or you do something wrong, you now dealt out all your cards, and it's now time for them to take their turn. If they don't, because they don't know what they missed, then, I mean, that pretty much sets up the neutral game again. And then you start back going in to take your turn. There's a neutral game, a preliminary move into your turn, and then there are multiple moves in your turn that you can do based on that. And that's where flowcharting comes in and a bunch of other crazy stuff. But like I said, we're focusing on sidestepping, and I'm going to try to explain why sidestep might be a viable option to either get out of pressure or use it to initiate damage. Not necessarily pressure, but damage. So, many moves in the game, and many characters like Bob and Lily and a few others, I mean, pretty much everybody has linear moves, but there's some linear moves that are just way more, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, I don't know, just damaging and scary to new players, or even middle-of-the-road players, rather than some other characters. A good example is like Lily having, I don't know, like some of her stomps and cartwheels and shit. So when they start doing stuff like that, there's only specific moves that Lily can do that will track or have a white tail behind the attacks or a trace, okay, like a shadow behind it. Those are what designate a move that tracks normally 360 degrees. Actually always 360 degrees. If it has a white tail behind it or some sort of shadow or blur behind it, it tracks. Now, if a move doesn't, that's your time to start figuring out, okay, which way can I step this move? Because you're almost never going to step a move either way, unless it's like a jab or, you know, something really hokey and weird. Maybe it's a move that's extremely slow, so you preemptively step. Or sidewalk way in advance. I've done that before, where it's a move that really normally shouldn't be able to, a move that normally shouldn't, be stepped, and it steps simply because you timed it right, and you have enough range and movement to get around it, but normally under pressure, you probably won't. Once you start getting into the nitty-gritty of applying pressure, a lot of things will work, and a good example would be like universally down forward one is a great move to use for situations where you want to safely apply mid pressure but also see reactions. And that's really the meat and potatoes of like the first round or the first match of a set for somebody, the first match of a series of matches, I guess I should say. Because while you're doing down forward one and it's blocked, you can then try different things. So you can do down forward one into down forward one. A good example would be doing that with Law or Paul or whoever else you use, Dragunov. Do down forward one, or Fang's a good one, down forward one into down forward one, and see what they do. Do they eat it? Are they pushing buttons? Are they trying to step themselves? Are they going for a big slow move? Oh, sorry guys. Oh, it's too early in the morning. Are they trying to step themselves? I covered that one. Are they trying to throw out a tracking move? You know, like Law's back four or back three. Are they trying to go low? Are they trying to go high? You know, what are they trying to do? Are they just backdashing? And are they backdashing with the BDC correctly, which is backdash cancel? There are correct ways and incorrect ways of doing that, and I am notorious for not doing backdash cancels correctly all the time because I get sloppy and lazy. The reason you do this is not only to, you know, apply pressure and make it look, you know, weird, like what you're doing and kind of shrouding what you're going to do next, but you're also setting up that sidestep or that move that's going to hit them out of something. If you see them going for huge moves, or they're just mashing weird stuff out, and they're not going for like a 10 or 11 or 12 frame move consistently, that gives you free rein to really attack with a lot more moves. than you normally would in a situation where, you know, you're playing a better player that is playing some more safe stuff. You know, they're throwing out safe cards, okay? So a good example would be you throw down forward one, you would then step. If they're throwing jabs or Lily's throwing out kicks or whatever, you're going to step it. Hop kicks. Most hop kicks can be stepped. Not consistently all the time both ways, but if you time it and you anticipate it coming out, you can step it. Some sweep moves that cover 360 degrees, you can step. Some sweep moves that don't look like they should be able to be stepped, like down two from Dragunov, the real low sweep with their hand, that can actually be stepped. There's a lot of moves that newer players and even, you know, middle-of-the-road players are going to anticipate, or something they can't avoid, but they can avoid. Now, another rule for sidestepping is you should normally step in the same side that the move is coming from. So, for example, let's say you've got, a kick coming from their right. It's like down forward four or something. It's just an example, okay? There's lots of different down forward fours, so don't take it to the bank, okay? But say you got like a linear type move that's down forward four. If you step towards the background, if they're on the second player side, you should step it easier than stepping the other way, because that's the initiating side of the move. So you're getting around it before the move initiates, so you can get around it and hit them. Some moves break the mold. So for example, Law's down forward two, okay? Most of his down forward twos, his down forward two is notorious because for the first few frames, it goes under highs, which it shouldn't, but it does. It tracks one way, and it's just a really great launcher. It's safe on block, you know, so on and so forth. So you have to, some of these things are character specific. You have to know. And that goes into just knowing the ins and outs of a character. And I've said this before in past, you know, podcasts and recordings, is you don't have to know every little tidbit of a character to be competitive. You just have to know more than the other guy, you know. You have to know more than the guy to the left or the right of you, so that you can make assumptions and make choices that are going to help you win. Okay? Do you need to know everything? No. Oh, God. Shit, I'm tired. Does it help to have all that knowledge? Yes. But are you going to get it easily? Probably not. You know, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of research. This game involves research. You can't just go to the move list and say, well, I know my 10 moves that are good. That's it. There's a lot more to it. So the biggest thing that higher level players know, and this is like I'm letting the cat out of the bag here, this is the secret, is that most moves that are minus four or better on block, let me say that again, most moves that are minus four or better on block, you can step afterwards and usually evade their retaliation attempts. Now, since minus four is safe and their fastest move is normally a 10 frame move.
God dang.
I'm tired. Man. Since 10 frames is normally the fastest move in the game, you're safe. You can block, okay? But by stepping preemptively ahead of time, before something comes out or as something is coming out, you can really surprise them with something like a step down forward two. Very fast. It doesn't even look like you move much. You move like a half a step or a quarter of a step and then do it. Now what this does is this opens up people that are only playing, I wouldn't necessarily say as a turtle, but someone that's playing extremely safe. So they're going for very safe 10, 11, 12 frame moves. They're only going for stuff that's safe on block until they know they've hit you, and then they go for crazy stuff. These are the players that medium level players have a real hard time with, and high level players have a hard time with too, because they're playing safe and you have to break that shell. Now it's a little different from turtling, because turtling is like them just evading and staying away from you. to either run down the clock or set up a better position for them for spacing. Now, that's a great tool. You need to do that too. But, you know, we're getting off the sidestep topic a little bit. But, you know, whatever. I like being a little more well-rounded and giving people a overview of why you do something, not just explaining what it is, you know. So, minus four or better. So, for example, like a down forward one. Most characters down forward ones are like minus four or better.
A block.
Or, I think Dragunov has like down forward three. It's like his mid kick or down forward four. There's a few moves that most characters have at least three or four moves that are good range one moves, range zero moves that are safe enough on block to allow you to step after the move. And by experimenting and doing the down forward one setups I was speaking of earlier, with down forward one into something, or down forward one into down forward one, or down forward one into blocking, you can see how people react. And once you see them react the same way two or three times, mix that into your game. Anticipate that they're going to step and do a tracking move. Anticipate that they're going to duck, you know,
and do a hop kick or a launcher,
or what have you, you know. I don't know why I'm yawning so much. It's killing me. But that's really important. And to be able to figure out what moves your character has that is minus four or better, you can download different apps on your phone, like Tekken 7 Chicken. You can go to the Tekken Zaibatsu forums. You can do all sorts of stuff. You can just go online and Google it. And look at, you know, for example, like Dragunov. Let's see how many moves Dragunov has that are minus four or better at close range. And you look at them and you pull it up. Oh, wow, he has, you know, A, B, C, D moves. Start adding them into your game. Start seeing how people react to them. And you'd be surprised how many more openings you get for down forward two or whatever, you know, up forward four on the side or, you know, whatever you're going to have. It's important to try that stuff out. Now, something that I want to point out, too, is that a lot of people's rage arts, most rage drives, not all, but most rage drives, and unblockable moves track. What that means is that they will actually reorient themselves based on the axis that you're currently in. So if you constantly are moving axis by sidewalking, you have a chance of evading some of it, if your distance and spacing is correct. If it's not, or you're just right in their face, usually their unblockable is going to hit if you go deer in headlights, if you just stand there and don't know what to do. I've had unblockable moves hit from behind, you know, where you sidewalk all the way around and it still manages to hit you. Now, it's not as bad as it used to be. It was really prolific in, like, Tekken 5 and Tekken 4 a little bit. But, you know, older games, they had some issues with that. But it's still a thing. It's something you got to keep in mind. A lot of players will use unblockables at the wall. A lot of newer players, for some reason, just YOLO rage art when they're low on health, which basically gives you the win. I mean, if you don't know this, this has nothing to do with sidestepping, but if you don't know this, then you need to work on your game. Most rage arts in the game are launch punishable on block. They're like minus 20 or some shit, or even more, I don't know. But some of them are pretty bad on block. So if you block them, except for, I think, Jin's, Horong's, and Steve's, there might be another one or two I missed. But those three are safe on block. They push you back. But pretty much everybody else's will eat a launcher, a down forward two, a hop kick, or whatever afterwards. And I don't know why new players want to throw that move out thinking it's flashy or it's going to win them the match. If they block and anticipate it, it's not going to happen. You're better off just blocking. If you have a health lead, just blocking mid and high and letting yourself get hit a couple times low until they throw out the rage art. Because that's what most people do, you know. But what else can we talk about with stepping? We talked about the frame advantages.
Oh, God, I'm tired, man.
Fuck. We talked about tracking moves a little bit. Oh, I got one. So reorienting characters. So you will eventually come across a character that knows how the axis system works. And by that I mean that there's an X, Y, and Z, okay, that you use to determine where your character's hurt box and hit box are in relation to the opponent's. And we're getting kind of technical here. But what they'll do, a great example is the Mishimas, okay, or Jin. Jin does this too. If you're any character that has a wave dash, you can use that, like King and others, to reorient yourself instantly if you know what you're doing. If you are really tight on your controls and you know your tech, you know exactly what you need to do to get Electric Wind Godfist with Kazuya or Heihachi or Devil Jin consistently every time, and you're able to wave dash and then instantly do it, or deep dash and electric, those are the moves that you gotta watch for when you're trying to sidestep everything. Because by reorienting themselves, it negates your step. Now, it may not negate your sidewalk all the time, but most of the time it does. It is basically a trump card for sidestep sidewalk. If they can reorient themselves by doing a dash forward, like forward, forward, and then do whatever sway move into a move instantly, that usually will be enough to track and catch you because they're lining themselves back up. The fastest time that you can move laterally left or right or into the foreground or background, I'm sorry, into the background or foreground, is when the opponent isn't doing a move and is in a neutral game or is about to start up a somewhat linear move or a move with long startup. Those are the times you get the most movement left or right around a move, okay? The initial startup of a sidestep is the most time that you move. So if you sidewalk and then just hold it, they can catch up to you with a wave dash or with a dash forward. They will line themselves back up to you. And it doesn't mean that it's broken or that, you know, whatever the issue may be that you might come up with for this. It just means that they have, you know, a tactic that's resetting the situation for themselves, okay? There's always a way around something in Tekken. There's always a certain way to wake up, or a certain move that trumps something, or a certain strategy that beats another strategy. It's just the way the game is, because the game is pretty well balanced. I would say it's one of the most balanced games. But that is something you got to look for. Moves that reorient or restraighten or realign, I guess is the best word, realign the opponent's axis to your own, even when you're moving, is a problem, okay? Another way, there are ways around that. What you can do is kind of space, and spacing is the act of purposely putting space between you and the opponent so that you're limiting what moves they can do and you can maximize the best moves that you have in a certain range. Okay. So for example, if I'm playing Law or Dragunov is a good example too, and I want to keep pressuring them with running two, which is one of Dragunov's best pressure tools from long range. It is his best pressure tool from long range. I'm going to stay far out as like three dashes away or more and stay out from the range that electrics would normally hit me instantly if I'm playing against Heihachi, Kazuya, all of them, okay? By doing that, I'm forcing either a whiff or for them to do something else to get in, okay? Because a lot of people love doing that move, or they do hell sweeps. By creating that space, it forces them to use different moves that they probably aren't planning on using to set up the next attack, to get their cards laid out, to get their turn started. By spacing out and waiting and then stepping when you see certain moves that are coming out as a trend or just a guess, sometimes you just gotta make hard reads, you just gotta guess. I don't suggest it all the time. That makes you for a very risky player, but you can, I guess. I do it sometimes. But you're basically reading the opponent for when stepping is happening, when it's going to be a good thing. Now, you know, it's tough, you know. It's not something a brand new player is going to sit down and get in 20 minutes. This is something you got to work on combined with character knowledge for quite a few weeks, I would think. At least a few weeks, probably longer, to really get it hashed out as to exactly when you can step in a string, which is a thing, when to step, out of certain setups, You know, and it just comes down to playtime and understanding how it works. Like I said, if you have a situation where you're getting minus four on something on block and it's their turn to start doing something, see what it is they're doing that's hitting you consistently and see if you can mix in something, either an attack or a step, that will evade it. Good example would be like laws 3+4 out of sidestep or sidewalk. So you sidestep, down neutral, up neutral, hit both kicks. Your character, I think it's called Twin Dragons or something. Basically, he hops. It's like a half hop kick, but he's kicking with both feet. And it causes a hard knockdown. It's untackable. And they're able to get a dragon tail afterwards, a slow sweep afterwards. For a chunk, I mean, it's like 40 points of damage. It's like more than a throw if you hit him with that, especially on counter hit. It's a shit ton of damage on counter hit. I think it's like 48 or 50, something like that. I'm just spitballing. I don't remember off the top of my head. But it's a lot of damage. And what that does then is you're stepping and you're evading lows because it's hop. So, you know, you're kind of doing an option select. If you see them doing hell sweeps or doing electrics, that might be a move to use a little bit. Now, is that like the end all electric wind god fist killer? No, it's not. But because it's slow, it's a slow startup move and they can electric you out of it. Their electrics are fucking fast. They're like 12 frames. Or 13 frames if they screwed up. So it's super fast. You know, the move is, that's probably one of the fastest launchers in the game if they do it right. But most players you run into that are medium or lower skill, they're not going to hit it every time. And they're definitely not going to be able to do dashes in and out of it and all that stuff. Because it's not easy to do. I mean, just getting the electric input is difficult. So, you know, it's something you just got to work on. I mean, there's more to it than that. I could get into that maybe another time, but you know, you just got to kind of get a feel for what opponents like to use, what their best moves are. And it's not necessarily just by character. It's also by player. Some players really like using unblockables, which that's a problem if you're stepping all the time. You can get around them, but like I said earlier, they track a lot of times. You know, there's certain characters that just have these key moves you got to deal with. Like electrics or Dragunov's down two or running two or, you know, whatever. And all those moves have some sort of weakness, like I said earlier. Like Dragunov's down two can be stepped. His running two can be stepped if you do it right. You know, there's ins and outs of it. And that's important to learn too, like I said, is there's strong sides and weak sides to every character. So certain characters, like an example again would be Law. Law is weak on his left side when it comes to stepping. If the opponent steps to his left side, a lot of his best moves will whiff. Okay, like his down 4-2 can be stepped to the left. His, you know, just a lot of shit. His dragon cannon kick can be stepped. His running 2 can be stepped. His flying dragon kick, his legend kick can be stepped. Like all of his good tools that like apply pressure and give him frames can be stepped. I think Hammer of Gods can be stepped. You know, there's a lot of stuff that can be stepped, okay? But he also has tools that kind of reverse that, like his down back 3, which is like his little toe kick that he has. That toe kick steps, it tracks to the left and is steppable to the right. So now you have a character that has a weakness to one side, but he has one or two tools that hit that side on stepping, against stepping, I should say. And that's important to note because lots of characters have that. Lots of characters have either a neutral sidestep weakness where both sides are pretty good or meh. And then other ones that have one or two really great moves one way and a bunch of moves the other way. And it's important to understand that. It's something where you got to put your nose to the grindstone or just talk to better players. If you're playing Dragunov and you're playing with other players that play Dragunov, ask them. Like, hey, when do you use this? Or how should I use this move? Or what do I do to evade that move? And it's important to know, you know. Also, characters' dashes and steps, all of them have different lengths. Different amounts of lateral transfer of how far they move left or right or in and out of the screen, okay? Like Lily's is pretty good. There's other characters that aren't, like Jax. Jax's sidestep is shorter simply because his hitbox is huge. Kuma's the same way. His hitbox is big and tall and wider. So because of that, his step has to be more precise to get around moves. Is it impossible to step moves with the bear and Jack? No, it's not impossible, but it's a lot more risky because there's a lot more room for error. There's less of a buffer zone there, okay? And you have to understand that when you pick up those characters, that they have usually more tracking moves. They have more things to counter the step on their side. You have to do it on the other side. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to kind of play a little safer with stepping. You can still do it, but you got to know what you're doing. But that's going to conclude it for now. I'll try to get into this more in detail with specific characters at a later date. But have fun. This is the Game Room. This is the Lefty. And we're still floating around on Twitch. We're on YouTube in the Game Room. And hopefully we'll be streaming some more 7 here soon. But for now, have a good day.